A reading from God's holy word, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 through 29. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Hear the word of God. Then went David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promise this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Father, cause us to see then the reason for David's great praise of thee, and our praise as well. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Our text actually is verse 20. Not quite what the bulletin says, which reads as follows. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. David is speechless. He's overwhelmed by what God has promised him. God has just promised to grant him a legacy, a dynasty of kings that will be eternal, and that he will build David a house and a kingdom that will last for eternity. And upon hearing that, David breaks into an offering of praise. Our theme is, what God gave David is indeed worthy of great praise. 3 points. First, David is an example to us of gratitude and a right response to the covenant of grace. And second, despite that, David's understanding of that covenant was not as good as our understanding today. And finally, this covenant of grace is given to us as a blessing, not only in the present, but in the future as well, and the same with David. So first, David is an example to us of gratitude and of a right response to the covenant of grace. David desires to build God a house, both to honor him and to have him be with him and his people forever. That's his burden. What God does is he makes him a counteroffer. He will build David a house. God will build David a house. Not a house in the sense of a structure, but a house in the sense of a family line that will be ruled by an eternal dynasty. And so God will be with him forever, and he'll make David's name great. And David is overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed with gratitude. He regards what God has offered him as being far more than he could have hoped. And see, this is the response that we should have towards God's grace. Far more than we could expect or hope. As it's written, "Now unto him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us." That describes the covenant of grace. It is beyond what we could ask for or think. We have yet to immerse ourselves in the terms of the covenant and learn of them better. But as it's written, "Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So this is the response we should have. Sometimes we do fall far short of having this gratitude, because what happens is sometimes we lose sight of what it is that we've been given. You know, most preaching is designed not to tell you something you didn't know or never heard, but rather to remind you of what you do know and to have you better appreciate what you've been given. So we're told in Scripture to practice being thankful and to express often our praise to God. Praise to God is praise to God, because what often happens is when we become familiar enough with a privilege that others haven't been given, or a grace that others haven't been given, which God doesn't grant to everyone, we start to take for granted. And then what God designed as a favor begins to be thought of as an entitlement. There's an interesting prophecy in Isaiah, in Isaiah's 55th chapter, where Isaiah gives the example of David to the nations of the world. He says, in essence, that David is held out as an example to the nations of the world. According to Isaiah, God would make an everlasting covenant with the Goyim, the Gentiles. He calls this "even the sure mercies of David," is how he puts it. Isaiah said, God gave David to be a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people, Isaiah 55:4. And this word "people" here is a word that's used in contrast to the word "Israel." The word "people" refers to the nations. And that David would be a witness bearer to them and a rallying point for them. That is what is meant here by a leader and commander to the people in Isaiah 55. Well, what's the point? Well, Isaiah declares that God is using David as a witness bearer to the nations of the desirability and the attractiveness of this covenant of grace, called here in Isaiah the sure mercies of David. Sometimes it helps to reflect upon a current reading with another reading from the prophets that give you a clearer perspective. And one thing David is showing here in our 2 Samuel chapter 7 text is that he understands something of this great blessing, and so he expresses thanks. He is given to the nations as an example, and especially an example to the New Testament church. That's where we find the gathering of the nations of the world, the gathering of the various people in the New Testament church. And he's given an example of the importance of having an informed thanksgiving to God for these sure mercies. Key word here is that word "informed thanksgiving." We need to know. We need to know what we've actually been given in this covenant. Catechism answer number 36 is instructive for us, which begins with, "What are the benefits which in this life do either accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification?" You see, because that's the end of that part of the quote. Because these three graces are granted to us already as born-again believers, but from them we derive certain benefits, such as, and then to continue the quote from Catechism, answer 36, the answer is assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. All these are intangible benefits, it's true, but if you have them, they lead to every other good thing, tangible and intangible. Our second point is this. Despite all this, yet David's understanding of all this is not as informed as an informed Christian would have today. There are saints today who know more about this covenant of grace than David ever did. And yet he is more thankful for it, for what he did know, than a lot of saints are today, even though they know more about this covenant of grace. That's ironic. Well, how can saints today know more about the covenant of grace than even David did? Well, because saints today are New Testament saints. They're New Testament saints. David was under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Again, the confession of faith is instructive for us. In this case, chapter 20 of the Westminster Confession, which begins with, which is entitled Christian Liberty and the Liberty of Conscience, and begins, well, the second paragraph begins this way. Under the New Testament, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of the ceremonial law to which the Jewish church was subjected. Little interjection here. David was subjected to that. And then to continue the quote, and in a greater boldness of access to the throne of grace and in fuller communications of the free Spirit of God. We're better informed today. We have the writings of Paul. We know in retrospect what God has done. And our enlightenment is the very reason why Christ could point to another prophet of the old covenant, John the Baptist, and say of him that there was not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, none born of women, a prophet he calls him, and more than a prophet. Luke 7:28 is what he called John the Baptist. And yet Christ said of John that he is least in the kingdom. He said that that he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What did he mean by that? Well, that phrase kingdom of God is used in different ways and used in different contexts. John certainly was in the kingdom of God. He's not saying that he wasn't, but the point that's being made here is that John, the last prophet of the Jewish church, did not have the understanding that we have today. And he didn't have the full benefits of that covenant of grace that we have today. He was under the ceremonial law. He wasn't fully informed. He had to ask Jesus, are you the one who should come or should we look for another? We know for sure he was the one that was to come. And here's the point. David also, like John, a prophet of that period, was in the same category that John was in. He had a limited understanding, a limited accessibility to a full understanding of these things. And yet his gratitude was enormous for what he did understand. It was gratitude enough to put a lot of Christians to shame. David is called a prophet, Acts 2:29. But he had limited understanding. And yet, in what David did know about what God had given to him, he was immensely thankful. As you read in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel 7. And what can David say more unto thee? He's speaking of himself. He's speechless. He doesn't know what else he could say. He's at a loss for words. He's overwhelmed by God's kindness. Our third point is this. God has blessed us with this covenant, not only in the present, but in the future, in this covenant of grace. David expresses his gratitude here in 1 Samuel 7:18. We read, and then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? He's using this word house in the sense of his family line, his family tree, his forebears. In essence, David's asking God, what did I do to deserve all this? Why have you conveyed on me such an honor, is essentially what he's expressing here. You know what people usually mean when they say, what did I ever do to deserve this? They usually mean just the opposite. What did I ever do to deserve this bad thing? David is asking it, what did I ever do to deserve this blessing? This should be the attitude that we have, despite everything. What did we ever do to deserve this? And we didn't do to deserve this. It's what we could never do properly to deserve this. And then he says, and this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come. He speaks of the future. What does he mean by this was yet a small thing in thy sight? Well, today we might say something like this. Well, if that wasn't enough of a blessing, you did even more for me than that. That's what he's expressing. Not only did God bless him in the past and in the present, taking him from his obscurity and his smallness to being the uncontested king of Israel and granting him miraculous victories in battle so that the women of Israel made slogans about him and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his tens thousands. So David thanks God for past blessings and present blessings and now his future blessings. He writes, thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, he says. You know, a preliminary to effective prayer is to praise God for what he's done for us and what he will do, what he's promised to do for us. And if we begin with that praise, it's much easier to ask for other things. We put ourselves in remembrance of God's covenant kindness towards us in the past, in the present, and what he has for us in the future. Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. It's honoring to God to do this. It's encouraging to us too. It helps us. It helps our faith that we make on when we need to make ongoing and additional prayer requests. St. Peter writes in his second letter to the saints that through this covenant of grace, God's, quote, divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's the present tense. That's in the present. Things that pertain now to what pertains to life and godliness. And then he continues in his quote, St. Peter, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. And you know these things are experienced in part here and in the future. In the future, they will be experienced in their totality. Present blessings and future blessings, all included in this covenant. And for both, David expresses a paean of praise. It's a term which means he offers a poetic expostulation of praise. So he clearly believes that he doesn't deserve these things as he contemplates the estate from which he was brought to the estate that he's been brought to. And then he says, 2 Samuel 7:19, and is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now, what's he mean by that? What he means here is not entirely clear, but he's either remarking to God that this is not his usual way of dealing with man, and it certainly isn't God's usual way of dealing with man. Now, if that is what David means, then he's saying that God is treating him with an especial, unique kindness. Well, that's how we should see our inclusion in this covenant. God has conferred on us a special, unique kindness that he doesn't do for everyone. Now, it may mean that, or it may mean, David may mean it this way. He may mean it in this way. You're treating me, God, in the way you're treating me, the way men will never treat one another, even at their best. Now, if that's what he means, the answer is obvious, of course. That's that God is treating him better than any man would ever treat another man. But either way, David meant it. They both equate to the same thing. God blesses us in the present and in the future over an abundance of what we could ever ask or think. We just have to realize it by looking at these exceedingly great and precious promises, meditating upon them. And we need to count our inclusion in the covenant as an especial, unique privilege that God does not grant to most people. And this is the covenant we have been given, that David was placed in, and we are as well. So in conclusion, we've seen what God gave David is indeed worthy of great praise, and what he gave to us is worthy of great praise as well. We've seen that David is an example to us of gratitude for the covenant of grace. And yet we can see that even though his understanding is not as mature as ours is, his thankfulness often superabounds what we're thankful for. And finally, God has blessed us in the present and in the future with many blessings. Let us pray. Holy Father, we grant that we would more and more appreciate our inclusion in the covenant of grace and discover more and more these exceedingly great and precious promises by which we are made partakers of Christ's divine nature. In his name we pray this. Amen.